Visit licensureexams.com and try our samples completely free of charge.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our Licensure Exams podcast for budding mental health professionals. I'm Dr. Linton Hutchinson from hot and sunny Florida, and I'm with my co-host, Stacy Frost, who is up there snowshoeing around the frozen tundra of Michigan. And while I'm basking in the sun here in Florida, I'm sending out a warm shout out to Kelly in Mason, Michigan, probably freezing along with you, Stacy.
Lucky you, Linton. I woke up to frost on the windows this morning and a 100-year-old furnace iced over in the basement. While you're sipping on your cool and refreshing celery juice down there, I'm perfecting my skills, thawing out from being a human popsicle.
Right.
Thank goodness for space heaters and hot apple cider.
Are you sure that apple cider and that suspicious oversized coffee mug you seem to be enjoying so much?
Why, yes, Linton, as long as I'm not slurring my words, let's just assume it's apple cider.
Okay.
Well, today we are going to explore the world of group therapy, specifically Irvin Yalom's theory of group development.
That's right. You need to know about more than just individual therapy for your exam. You also will be tested on other therapy modalities, including group, couples, and family therapy. So if you've taken classes for marriage and family therapy, you're in good shape. If not, you may want to listen to some of our other podcasts or start hitting the books.
Good point. Now, group therapy has been proven to be effective in treating a wide range of disorders. It's not just about simply sitting in a room with other people sipping apple cider, but it's about the dynamics and processes that unfold. So our story today begins with Dr. Irvin Yalom, who got his start in psychiatry in the 1950s. Like that, Linton? 1950s.
Love it.
He developed a fascination with the human condition, as he called it, and he approached therapy from an existential standpoint, believing that people are constantly battling with existential dilemmas like the fear of death, being alone, and living a life of meaninglessness. Existential therapists believe that mental illness is caused by struggles related to our very existence. And Yalom believed that by exploring these issues in a group setting, individuals could find support and meaning through their shared experiences. Now, we take it for granted, but back in the day, you remember, Linton, those old school approaches to therapy, don't you?
Right.
The only kind of therapy was individual therapy, and the thought of group therapy was pretty radical. Yalom was one of the first psychiatrists to truly recognize and utilize the power of group dynamics in therapeutic settings.
Yeah, he was really a unique individual for that time. And he didn't just write about some stuffy academic material again. And he didn't just write about it in some stuffy academic journal. He actually led group therapy sessions himself and studied the interactions and processes that occurred within them. If the book The Theory and Practice of Group Psychotherapy sounds familiar to you, it's probably the text that was used in your master's degree program in counseling. And since you obviously kept your textbooks for your future reference library for your private practice rather than selling them to get some fast cash to go clubbing, you're in good shape.
And if not, now's a good time to reinvest in some of those classic textbooks as you study for your exam. And we'll also try to hit the highlights in this episode.
Right. So Yalom identified 11 therapeutic factors that engage in group therapy. He believed that the curative factors help to bring about change in each person within the group stacing. Setting. Stacy, want to kick off the first one?
Sure thing, Linton. All right. The first therapeutic factor identified by Yalom is instillation of hope. This is the belief that things can get better and that change is possible. In a group setting, individuals may see others who are further along in their recovery journey, and this instills hope in them for their own progress.
The next factor is the concept of The next factor is the concept of universality. This is the idea that others have similar feelings, problems, and challenges. Recognizing these commonalities can help individuals feel less alone in their struggles.
Number three is something that Yalom called imparting information. In a group setting, members can share facts, knowledge, and advice with one another based on their own experiences. This exchange of information can lead to greater understanding and growth for all who are involved.
And let's not, again, and let's not forget factor four, the power of altruism. This is when individuals experience a sense of joy and fulfillment by helping others in the group. By giving support and guidance to others, they also receive in return, leading to a positive and supportive environment.
You know, I really think the idea of altruism ties in really well with the existentialist search for meaning and value.
Mm-hmm.
Helping others in the group can give individuals a purpose and boost their self-esteem and feelings of self-worth.
Absolutely, and that's what you're all about. As therapists in the helping professions, and something you do every day.
Well, I'll have a sip of apple cider to toast to that one, Linton. All right. Another one of Yalom's curative factors, number five on our list, is corrective recapitulation of the primary family group.
That's a mouthful.
That is definitely a mouthful. But it really just means that the group can act as a mirror to an individual's early family life. And past patterns can be explored and corrected within the group dynamic.
Exactly. Yalom also observed the development of socializing techniques, a factor number six that emerges in group settings. This refers to individuals learning from one another how to better interact and communicate with others outside of the group. In this way, it's sort of like a training group for social skills.
Mm-hmm. And as group members are honing their social skills, they may also engage in imitative behavior, which is curative factor number seven. Group members can model their behavior after the positive behaviors of other group members or the therapist even.
Who does that remind you of, Stacy?
I think something about Albert Bandura.
Right, exactly, with his social learning theory.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was really big on that idea, and for the most part, human behavior is learned by observation with either a live model, symbolic model, or verbal instruction, like this podcast. He did some interesting experiments, but we'll save those for another podcast. Now, back to Yalom. What is the next factor, Stacy?
All right. Factor number eight is something called interpersonal learning, where through feedback from others, members can gain insight into how they come across to others and how they relate to others. Yalom emphasizes the idea that people have a tendency to perceive others in a distorted way. Now, these distortions stem from the person's interpretations and potential misunderstanding of the approval or disapproval expressed by important people in their lives. So group therapy provides an opportunity for individuals to receive accurate and constructive feedback from others, leading to greater self-awareness and improved interpersonal skills.
Exactly. And number nine is group, again, and number nine is group cohesiveness, the sense of belonging and connection that develops within any kind of group. When individuals feel that they belong to a group, they are more likely to be open, share their feelings, and invest in the therapeutic process. The presence of group cohesiveness can amplify other therapeutic factors identified by Yalom. For example, a cohesive group might facilitate altruism because members are more willing to support and help one another. Similarly, catharsis might also be a more profound experience in a cohesive group as members feel safe to release any pent-up emotions that they may have.
And speaking of catharsis, Linton, that is the 10th curative factor. Sharing personal feelings and experiences with a supportive group can really provide relief from emotional pain.
And finally, we have existential factors. The group setting can help individuals confront and understand the reality of their everyday living, that there is going to be pain, death, and sadness. With the group support, members learn that it's possible to learn how to accept and live with these conditions without running from them, fighting them, or being paralyzed by them.
Well, that's a good one to end on. Here's a quick recap of Yalom's 11 curative factors. Installation of hope, universality, imparting information, altruism, corrective recapitulation of the primary family group, development of socializing techniques, imitative behavior, interpersonal learning, group cohesiveness, catharsis, and existential factors.
Quite a bit.
Now, are you going to remember all of these therapeutic factors for the exam?
Right, sure. Yeah.
Probably not. But your takeaway of Yalom's group method should be that people are constantly battling existential dilemmas like the fear of death, being alone, and living a meaningless life. So if in a case study on the exam, if you have a client who's experiencing any of these issues, consider using Yalom's group process as your first choice.
Well, thanks everybody for joining us today. Now it's time for me to head over to Publix and get some of that BOGO sushi. And I'm sure you, Stacy, are off to Meijer's to pick up those delicious Midwestern pickled turkey gizzards.
Oh my gosh. I saw those the other day in a jar and yeah. I almost just left the store because I lost my appetite.
I guess there's no accounting for taste. So until next time, remember,
it's in there.